Please welcome Kelly Copeland. Thank you. Y'all, it's such a blessing to be here. Thank you. Y'all sit down. It really is. Man, the presence of God is deep and heavy here. And that means that I'm in a place where his name is honored. But I can tell increasingly the places where his presence is honored. It's a step deeper in. And so it really is an honor to be here. Deb and Roxanne have just been wonderful friends. I know they pray for me. I know at times Tim's told me, but they're praying for you. I'm like, I know, I feel it. So I really do appreciate it. And yes, I could tell you a lot of things about Kim that probably all good and all bad. We like to say, actually, maybe this is going to not be true one day. But the Lord is refining us. But we would make one really good person or one really bad person. Because we are exactly opposite. So I'm glad that we each have a little of this. And, you know, the Lord's helping us with the little of that we don't want. Amen? And actually, that's a little bit, I want to talk to you a little bit about that part of life right now. Is the Lord helping us with that little bit of that we don't want? I don't know that was what I was thinking the name of my message would be, but you know, he is, I heard him say a few years ago, I'm coming. And I was in a Todd White meeting, which this was several years ago, and this was really new. My toe dipping into some of these things was really new. And it was life altering. I will tell you this, it's life altering to find out something else about Jesus.
Yes.
And I don't want us to be afraid to find out something else about Jesus or to think that we already have everything.
Yeah. Right.
Because if we already had everything, life would look a whole lot different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, because when we have everything, we will be a force to be reckoned with. And really, that's what I want to talk to you about. But just before I go all there, let me encourage you to let the Lord lead you to what you need. You know, I recently saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll give you just a little nugget. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's talking about all the gifts, right? And it talks about, we kind of overlook some scriptures sometimes when they don't quite say what we want them to say, but this talks about these gifts are to help each other, to help each other grow. And we've come into this so self-aware place that we think that the gift on us or the gift on me as a minister or the gift, whatever gift that the Lord has really given you to operate in, it's not just preachers that operate in the gift.
Right.
I mean, we all have a gift that we're operating in or multiple gifts in the marketplace, in the church, in the wherever God has you. He wants you to be operating in the gift that he put in you. But we've started, absconding with those gifts. Thinking that, this is my gift, you know. And it really, it's not. You are a gift. He put a gift on you for other people.
Yes.
And that is to help those other people.
Right.
So we, in that mindset, we don't do it like on purpose. It's just been it's been the culture rolling for the last couple of hundred years that has caused us to kind of think about things this way. And there's a lot of things that have been rolling in humanity for thousands and thousands of years that the Lord, the Bible calls it, he winked at that. Well, he's not winking anymore. He's not going, all right, you know how you do when your kids, when you're laughing at some of the stuff they do, that if they were 30, it would not be funny.
Right.
Well, we're 30.
Yeah.
We're actually 33 now, coming into the fullness of our ministry as Jesus did. And so the things that he used to wink at in humanity come down to one generation, two generations, one time, one full resurrection of the body of Christ in the ages of time, the Bible calls it the climax of time or the conversion of time. Here we are. We have to deal with the junk that has been accumulating in the human race for thousands of years. Thank you, Lord. But you know, He made us able to do this. And He's put everything in the earth of Himself. Everything that we might need right now to make it. Not just make it, but to be who we're supposed to be is here. We may not have it in our, you know, our gun belt, our, I love Marvel movies. So we may not have it in our activity belt, whatever they call it. But it's here. It's available. And we need to collect it. And so in I just 1 Corinthians, I feel like this is important this morning as I share with you some of these things. I knew the Lord wanted me to encourage you about what He's doing and how to let Him do it, but He first wanted me to kind of give you an overview of where I kept saying, Lord, why are you telling me all this stuff? Just tell Dad. He's got a show. He's got a microphone. This was before I had the Kelly and Jerry. I'm like, he's got a microphone. He's got a bit. He could tell everybody all at one time. And he's like, stop saying that. Okay. He just saw this strategy. I'm a strategic thinker anyway, but the Lord just started downloading strategy for the end times, right? And so I just kind of want to give you a where we are now for a second. And so, where was I? I need to remember where I am now. Huh? Yeah, before that, I was about to tell you where we were. So, we have all these things. Oh, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, I was doing a broadcast with my parents. It's going to air in January. I didn't say much. Oh, I could have. But it was Dad's broadcast. I was just like, yeah, praise God. Have you ever been that person? We always have. We all have so much in us, we could all say something sometimes, right? But anyway, this I couldn't hold back. I was like, wait, because he was reading about the gifts, and I saw that about we're supposed to have these gifts for other people. And then it says at the end, do you remember it says, I'll show you, talking about coveting, a better way, covet the... How does it say that? The best gift, yeah. Well, Brother Roberts always used to say what the best gift was, the one you need at the time.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
So in our old mindset, our yesterday mindset, we interpreted that as, because we were so self-aware of how we walk with the Lord. And we interpreted that as, well, I have a gift of tongues, but now I'm going to walk in the gift of healing. I'm coveting the gift of healing, not to receive, but to operate in. And while it's not bad to want to operate in these things, that mindset wants to do it for me. That mindset of grabbing more gifts, and it's not about other people. It's about I want to operate in something. I want to have a ministry. And it then all those thoughts don't happen here. They happen back here where you won't recognize them. They happen where the enemy just slowly has put us into this place of idolatry of ourselves, idolatry of man. And we've just kind of so stewed in this pot for so long that we haven't realized, you know, what has developed that is not good. So, but at the same time, the Lord was working on something. So that was not important. Because what He was working on even almost lends itself to that. Because what He was working on, as the Bible was talking about these gifts given to men, as He gave these gifts and messages to men, women, that became gifts and messages to a group. More so now than ever before because of media. You started with, you know, magazines, I mean books, then newspapers, then radio, then television, and tent meetings. And I mean, you can see even over this century how a gift and a message given to a man or a woman became a group. But that group just represents kind of that person who brought that, whether it was even, I'd say, our group, you know, Word of Faith, that's represented even by people. We're representing people that have already gone home to be with the Lord even. But God put these messages in here, not so they would stay in a little group, but they had to develop in a group. So there has been developed messages now, think about it, for the last 100 years. We have gone so deep into the things of God. We have had help. Not just a few people, but masses of people have drilled down deep into the Word of Faith. Masses of people have drilled down deep into the presence and holiness and the power of God. Masses of people have drilled down into healing and all the things. The prophetic. You know? And all those things, he says at the end, to covet. Did that ever strike y'all as a weird word? Did it? I'm like, I'd read it and I'd be like, that's, you know, that's supposed to be a word. We're not supposed to do that. But when I'm sitting there with this broadcast with my parents, it hit me why that word. That word is huge, and the meaning of that word is huge, because we're not supposed to covet our neighbor's house, car, spouse, like that, but we are supposed to covet their gift. See, we haven't done that. We haven't done that. We've just liked to be in the little warm pot that we're in. We like, or it's hot. It's a hot pot, but as the requirements for the body of Christ change, as they would change from kindergarten to then you go to elementary, middle school. My daughter just went into middle school. I'm like, oh, hallelujah. But you know what? The thing is a little nerve-wracking to parent is the requirements on me have lessened and the requirements on her have increased. And in a way, I don't like that because, you know, people get their first B that way, right? I was like, don't tell her. But they experience some failure where they don't have quite, they haven't been running along at that pace with that requirement. You know, mama's been going, okay, do this. Let me check it. I don't check nothing. And, it'll just increase for her. So as we've increased into the place where we're stepping into, we can't go into that with the mindset we had yesterday. We can't go to battle without what we need on our tool belt. So this is important. It maybe wasn't important the last 20 years, but it's important now. And it's quick. And so as we start coveting, how many of you been kind of stretching out, listening to a different speaker here and listening to somebody over here that you never listened to? And God's put this person's video in your, you know, to listen to. That's what he's doing, that. So don't feel bad. Because listen to this. I'm so excited. What is, now we get to find out what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 really means. Okay, y'all ready for this? We have looked, we have scratched the surface of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're about to get into the power of that chapter, and we are about to get down at that last verse that never fails. So we're sitting on this broadcast, and I shared that part about the coveting your neighbor's gift, because I just popped out of my mouth. I'm kind of like Peter. The Bible says he blurted. And, but then my dad started talking about love, and I was just got, it hit me so hard, but it was the last 2 days, so I just shut up and let him finish what he was trying to, he was working on something. It was great. But, I'm like, so I had seen this before, but in 12, as he's listing the gifts, it's the same assets. Have y'all ever noticed this? It's the same assets listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yeah. Wow.
If I had faith,
yes.
If I had love,
yeah.
If I had this,
yeah.
If I had that,
yeah.
If I could heal, if I had prophecy.
Yeah.
Are they the same?
Yes.
I mean, we get the gist of what he was trying to say. If you had all that stuff and you had not love, so what really got me was Dad said, you know, it was a little random and it was really not even in context of what he was saying, so I think it was for me. He said, I believe the old English translators were moving by the Holy Spirit when they called it charity. What does charity mean? Giving love.
Yes.
So over here we have to covet the gift, and over here we need to be generously giving the gift to help each other. Not just in our little circle now. Because we're going deep into this now. We're not talking about only I individually love you.
Yeah.
We're talking body now.
Yeah.
Because we are not the body of the word of faith or the body of the prophetic or the body of the apostolic or all the other, you know, pieces and parts of the body. We're the body of Christ. There's so much stuff going on in here that we can't be the body. There's so, when he talks about the wheat coming together and the sons of God and being manifested in the earth, that, you know, that's where we're at.
Yes.
And so what has to come out of the wheat? The garbage has to come out of the wheat before it can be bundled. But when it gets bundled, woo!
Yeah.
And when you think about wheat, I think about the word of the Lord. I think about the words that he speaks as being the wheat and the tares, what the enemy plants. So everybody, according to Jesus, you can ask him if you don't think it's true, everybody has the wheat with a tare planted by it.
Yeah.
He plants the wheat, Satan comes in at night, plants a tear. You know why that's possible? Because we don't have all the full wheat. So where we don't know does hurt us.
Yeah, that's
where we don't know things is where Satan feeds lies. So we think, no, I'm good. I don't want to go, help me, Kim. I need to keep up where my time is because I don't want to go. I really didn't mean this to be my message, so. But where we are strong and complete and perfect is our spirit. But in our mind, will, and our emotions, we are not renewed. And yet, we act like we think we have it all there. And there should be no reason this or that or the other happened. But when you have Satan, Jesus called Satan the father of all lies, the father of all liars. If he's the father of all liars, he's the father of all lies. And it has his DNA.
Yeah.
So when we have something in us, and it can be rejection, it can be, I'm sure the list is very long. But where we know the truth, there's something Satan comes in sneakily. For instance, and let me tell you, I'm not getting down on you or saying, y'all need to do this, y'all need that. I am totally talking to you about what Jesus has done, but had to do in me. And he's still working on me too. So I just, for me, this is how I can help you is if I have fought, I have fought a fight to have what I have today. Because Jesus did the battling for me and with me, but the fight I fought was not even against the enemy as much as it was against me.
Right.
I had to fight my own pride, my own, you know, need to be perfect. I had to fight at the root of it was Satan planting abandonment, but it was my not wanting to be wrong and pride that was keeping me from seeing what it was in me that needed to go. And I didn't want to hear it. And I thought I was good. Because I am strong. And in many ways, I'm so strong. But where you're strong, how many of you know, you even dealing with in friendships or even spouses generally, where you're strong, the other side of you that you don't quite vision every day is weak. Yes. Other people see it. Oh my gosh, she drives me crazy. He's driving me crazy. Can't you see what you're doing to everybody? No, they don't, because that's back here. And our strengths we see, and we settle in on those, and we lean on those. And it causes, we have generations now, and generations, that stuff has been in our DNA. I'm going to use a strange example, and I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but I feel like the Lord is putting this in my mouth. I read or was listening to somebody talk about racism. And I know that as a white person, I don't understand it. And sometimes people will say something, I'm like, I'm not so much this way now because the Lord has helped me be anti-racist. I don't want to just not be a racist. I want to be anti because it is demonic. And sometimes in our desire to say, I'm not that, we dismiss what people are hurting from.
Yeah, that's good.
And the science of it is that there is a lot of the effects of what happened to African Americans. Oh, let me rephrase that. The effects of what happened to Africans when they were brought over here,
yeah,
and not made to be Americans, but just made to be slaves. That goes into DNA for generation after generation, and then harm and harm and harm and harm and harm and harm. And you think, well, they shouldn't feel that way. You have no idea. We have no idea. So we need to be listeners.
Yes.
We need to be healers. But we also need to be healed of, you know, the pride of thinking it's just a simple switch. And even in ourselves, for whatever lie is planted, because when Satan plants a lie in an entire culture, you are worthless, you are slaves, you are only here to serve a certain sect of people and nothing more, and you are worse than animals. When that lie is put in a culture, can you imagine how deep that lie goes? It is a lie. And it is a lie for white people, European people, that you're any better. And while we may not feel that way, that lie has gone way back in our culture. Do you see how, like, DNA has more to do with it than we've really thought about? So even in your raising your kids, your weak places you often perpetuate. So I don't know how I got off on all that so deeply, but you can see where we do have some work to do. But right now the Lord said to me, I'm coming. I'm coming. And when he said it, it was like fire. With every time I heard the word, fire hit my heart. Fire. And I needed some of these things from other people. Bill Johnson. And hear me, I'm not dismissing what I have. What I have made me so strong, but what I don't have made me weak.
Yeah.
And I'm not having that anymore.
So good.
What you have here makes you strong.
Yes.
But these two, I feel that these two have been digging around in other things for you. Because they're full of fire. They're full of fire, and they're not full of pride. And as the Lord started dealing with me and what was going on in me, he diagnosed a root that started when I was almost 3 years old. I wasn't even three. Y'all have heard my dad tell about the wreck that we had. I was not three yet. And abandonment, I'm not going into that story. But the Lord had to show me that. Nobody could show me that. But he showed me that's where abandonment came in. And I had the symptoms of abandonment my whole life. And one day I read the list of those, and I was like, that's weird. I think I do that stuff. I'm like, I think I asked the Lord why, but I didn't get an answer. I wasn't listening. But I did get an answer, but it took about 6 months. Anyway, the Lord started just unraveling that stuff. If we are the body, literal physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, we are. If the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, that resurrection power, not as here at our availability, it dwells in us. What is wrong with us? We should all be asking, what is wrong with me? First as an individual. We've got to get the junk out. But guess what? That fire, he came. That's what he said to me. I've come in fire to burn it out. So we're not at a time where we had to, like, maybe we were in the past trying to forgive. We forgave by our will, and we forgave because we were told to, and we exercised our will and our mind to forgive. You know, that's great. But when I found out that my emotions belong to the Lord, or they're mine, and I can give them to the Lord, that I don't have to just, like, pretend they're not there, then I also found out that Jesus himself prayed a prayer that said, we forgive. Forgive us our trespasses. Wait, he doesn't have any. You mean you're praying that with me? You're praying that prayer? You gave me a prayer that every time I pray it, I don't even have to pray it in Jesus' name, because I'm just there standing before the Father praying that prayer in unison with you? He gave us a prayer to pray. Forgive us, including himself with me, of our trespasses, as we, me and Jesus, forgive those who trespass against us. So he took ownership of my hurt. He took ownership of my forgiveness. And we can't live like that unless we live in oneness with him. We can't even conceive it until today, that kind of oneness. But as he's wrapping us up into oneness with him, pulling us in, we see the example of it in Revelation. That's a really pertinent part for us of Revelation right now is, it's all pertinent, but Revelation 1, 2, 3, 4, it's powerful. He's knocking. Why? He wants to come in, sit at a table with you, and he wants to say, sweetie girl, I love this about you. Oh, I put this in you. It's so powerful. But I don't like that. Now, that's the way the Lord talks to me.
Yeah.
Kim says he didn't talk to her that way. Kim says he goes, Kim,
stop it.
Knock it off. You know, she's kind of a cut to the chase girl. I like the more roundabout way. But he knows us. He knows our heart. And he is for our soul. And he's cleaning it out. Our mind, our will, our emotions. He's trying to dig stuff out of us. The recognition of what's in you may come from a spouse. And you hadn't been wanting to hear it. It may come from your children. If you have millennial children, it's probably coming from them. Lots of self introspection. But, you know, do that with the Lord. When somebody has a problem with you, don't just go. Go before the Lord.
Yes.
What do they say, Lord?
Yeah, that's good.
Talk to me. Because he's not going to do it with recrimination about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's here to burn it up.
Yeah.
And with his words of correction received, the stuff is just easy to get rid of. You just pluck it. He gave us even a process. Say to the sycamine tree, I pluck it up, cast it into the sea. The sea of what? The sea of fire.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well,
because we are supposed to be a body.
Yes.
And if we can't be one with Him as individuals, see, what He's bringing us into now is to become a living stone. And the living stones can come together to the cornerstone and become the temple. Can you see? It's so, I just see it. Everything I see now points to that. Because He's got things for us to do that are crazy and wild and outstanding. I mean, how many of you would say, let me put it this way. Let me see if I can wrap this side up real quick. Peter, the disciples walked with Jesus every day. I mean, I'm sure it was like they were seeing Him do something outstanding every day. And think about it. All the messages that have now become worldwide different groups, they were all encapsulated in one Jesus. And as He's pouring Himself out, He's pouring and teaching, and there's things that are not in here. There's things that He taught them probably that came out in their letters. And then even Paul, he had one-on-one time with Jesus in the Spirit, and he learned things just by walking out what he had learned from Jesus, from the disciples. He actually literally is the one who showed us how to walk out everything Jesus said, because he got in all kinds of trouble. I think there's a lot of my ideas that I've questioned lately. And I think learning to walk and live by faith and stand by faith, somehow the lie was imparted, and I never probably would have even said this out loud, that something bad shouldn't happen to you. Something bad can't happen to you. I know my parents talk about a divine life. I believe in believing for that and standing for that. But there's not anywhere in the Bible says that you would never have to have a faith fight. Because here's the truth. The divine life comes when you get firing on all cylinders. And we're not. But at the time when the grace of God is there for you to know what you know and not know this, you're going to feel like you're firing it. How many of y'all think, oh yeah, I remember that day. I remember when it felt like that, when I won every battle. And it's because the grace and empowerment was there for you to operate without this. Because that's all you have. But when He says, okay, people, class, it's time to know something else, it's hard. It's just hard. It's hard going, especially if you will not let go of where you were to grow up. And you will not let go of where you were wrong or weak. He talks about it in terms of being weak. We have to, like, let go of that. So He's pulling the body together little by little by little. I mean, you can see it getting closer and closer, right? Why? Because that divine life that we're stepping into now is the divine life. Like victory over death. Yeah. We haven't walked in victory over death. I firmly believe that victory over death will require all of Jesus. Yes. With no lie. I don't even know if I could say, I don't even think there, maybe when I think about it like that, there's really no argument about that. Because victory over death requires no foothold for the devil. Right? I mean, can we say, yeah, that's probably true. So we have to get with the Lord. Let the correction happen. Let Him stabilize us. We've been leaning on a lot of things that are just weak places. So let me throw this out to you, just strategically. Satan has a tactic that we haven't really talked a lot about. And I don't know that I've ever felt like wide scale he was doing that tactic. I don't know if I've ever felt like he was trying to do that tactic. I never even thought about this. What Satan did to Eve, he desired to sift her.
Yes.
And he said he didn't. And how he did it was by taking what God said, deconstructing it, putting it in a different way that sounded good, offered it to her, and she took it.
Yes.
Offered her what God said, along with the lie, and she ate it. Jesus gives us the truth. He gives us the truth here. We need to start trusting him here. One of the things that is going away is if you rely on a preacher, a pastor, a prophet to do your relationship with the Lord. If you rely on what they do, they say only, we should be enhanced and taught and admonished and even corrected. But it, you either heard the Lord say that before you got into service, or he affirms it afterwards. The Holy Spirit is our second witness. He's the second witness to you to what the Lord Jesus is saying to you. And it can come here, it can come here, it can come on the TV with preachers. It can come so many ways. But we've got to develop this where he can refine us, because your pastor don't know what's going on in here. You know it. Most of us aren't telling. I think we should start taking those times of anger and hurt and fear and sadness and grief, and we should start saying, not just shoving it and not even just laying down to it, but just saying, Lord, what is that? What is that rooted to? Why do I feel that way?